morning and happy Mother's Day. Let's bow our heads for a moment and just ask the Lord's blessing on this morning. Lord, we just want to thank you that you've set aside a day for us to come and worship you, to look into your word. And Lord, I just ask that your presence be felt here this morning, that you would guide my words and thoughts, and that your spirit would be over our congregation this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I was really struggling with what I was going to call the message this morning. Couldn't quite think of something that would really work, that would talk about Mother's Day and talk about how I wanted to tie in all the different themes I had this morning. I kept coming back. If you remember last time I spoke, I talked about the ABCs. The words that kept coming into mind was, mind your P's and Q's. But unfortunately, I could think of lots of P words. There's lots of P words that I could work and build on. There was not many Q words that I could make work. I kept thinking of the words quiet and quick, which now you're thinking of, hopefully he'll be quiet soon and hopefully this will be over quickly. Or maybe that's just me that's thinking that. This morning's message is about mothers, but it's also about protecting our faith. I eventually settled on nurturing the faith in a changing world because of the many parallels that exist between a mother's love and care for her children and the way in which we as Christians need to love and care for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I was praying for today, I was going through some of my old files, some of the old things from the past that I had looked at and gone through, and I came across a Mother's Day sermon which I had spoken on May 8, 1988. That was 24 years ago. And many changes have occurred in probably your life and my life over the past 24 years. The 80s was a great decade, but it's past. And I think back of terms of my perspective, the things that have gone on in my life in terms of actually being married in that last 24 years, finishing university, changing careers, doing all these different things. And so my perspective and my understanding of who I am as a person and where I fit in God's kingdom have changed. However, when I looked at that old sermon, I would cringe at some of the things I would say back when I was 24 years old, but also I recognized that the theology things were correct. Those were still steadfast. The basic tenets that I talked about and the basic foundations of the faith were still the same as they were then as now, even though the way I said it may be different. And same, I would not say those same things now because I've changed. But the basics were still there. At this point, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, or in your pew, to Luke. And I'm going to read a passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. This is Mary speaking. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This passage of Scripture is quite a famous passage called Mary's Song. It's also called the Magnificat. It's read in different liturgical services and so on, and kind of an ode to Mary and what she felt and thought. It's an echo of the Old Testament hope of God's redemption for his people. Mary, having learned through an angel that she was to have a son who will be the Savior of the world, expresses her thoughts and feelings to Elizabeth in a way that is both powerful and humble. I think many of the expectant mothers have similar thoughts. There is a great joy and thanksgiving with the knowledge you are going to have a child, and humility in the understanding of the responsibility of this task. You see this in verses 46 to 48. There is an excitement in bringing in the next generation and the hopes and dreams and mighty deeds of one's offspring may accomplish now and in the future. You see that in verses 49 and 53. The hope that one's children will be fair and good and righteous, and that they're, in essence, your descendants will go on forever. See that in verses 54 and 55. The roots of this passage are in the Jewish poetry or Psalms. We read Psalm 138, which really kind of forms a lot of the foundation to Mary's song. Psalm 138 also has the very same structure and form as what Mary had to say here. Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, is also very similar to what Mary spoke here in Luke, in both structure and content. And you can feel free to look at 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 10. You may get bored. I don't mind you reading it while we go through it because it has the same stuff. And you can read that on your own as we talk. It will help keep you awake as you await a Q word, which might occur. This brings us to our first P word of this morning. Protect. The word protect. I think a mother's first instinct with her children is to protect them. And I think you'd probably agree with that. This could be in the form of danger or protect them from others, to protect from a bad influence or from any type of threat. 24 years ago, as a young single man, I had no concept of what it means to protect one's children from so many different influences. Media and negative ideas that are present in the world today. We see this protective instinct clearly in the animal kingdom. We always hear reports of bear attacks. You know, a grizzly bear with her cubs, if you encounter on the trail, will probably be very aggressive because they're protected. It's not because they don't like you, it's because they want to protect their young. You can even see this in the smallest thing, like a swallow. If you have a barn swallow in any of your buildings and you go too close to the nest when it has young, you usually get swooped at. You can remember that as a kid. That there's a protective instinct. Mothers, what are some of the things that we do and choices we make that help us protect our children? What are some of the things that help us protect our children? What do we do? Any ideas? This is your participatory point. Drop in the cross. We teach them how to cross the street correctly. First thing I thought of is helmets. We wear helmets all the time now. Back in 88, we hardly ever wear a helmet. It's much different. We protect a lot more. We teach them about rules. I think back to when I was a kid, if my mother knew what I did on my motorcycle when I was a kid, I would never have had a motorcycle. There would have been a much more protective instinct. There is a parallel with a mother's instinct to protect their children and our responsibility as believers to protect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though we live in a constant change, in an information age where any particular action can appear worldwide on the internet simultaneously as it occurs. Anything we do can be up there for millions to see any time now. The basic tenets of the gospel remain constant and true. We are all sinners, and because of our sin, we have separated from God. God's death on the cross has redeemed us from our sin. Reconciliation with God can only occur through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That same humility shown by Mary in the Magnificat should be evident in our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 5, verse 8 to 11. Romans 5, verses 8 to 11. But God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? Through Him, for if when we were God's enemies we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That whole idea of a relationship with Jesus that reconciles us to God. That fundamental truth is something that we must continue to protect as Christians, that we cannot water down the gospel of Christ, that we cannot water down that it's only through Jesus that we receive eternal life. Just as a mother protects her children, It's a truth that cannot be watered down and is essential to the Christian faith. Without a personal relation to Jesus, there is no reconciliation with God. Second P word is provide. I think every mother seeks to do for her children, to provide for them. We all desire that our children have enough food, clothing, shelter. No mother wants her children to suffer. We all want them to have a good life. Mary speaks of providing the hungry with good things and that God's mercy is extended, especially to those with economic need. Mothers, what are some of the ways that we seek to provide for our children? I think we provide them with a good education. We want to have great experiences with them. We send them to camp. We send them to Sunday school. We send them to youth group. We all want to provide good things for our young people. It's springtime. And this is a great week. Everything is really green. The leaves are popping out. And with spring comes the tending of one's lawn, if you live in town. And I've always taken the tending of my lawn somewhat seriously and some sign of a competitive endeavor. I would like to have a very green lawn. Trying to create the perfect lawn can be quite challenging, especially the elimination of a certain yellow flower, which tends to be rather prolific. Through trial and error, I have learned some valuable truths about lawn care. My focus used to be on the eradication of the dandelion and weeds through lots of overdoses of lots of chemical vigilance. The end result would be some brown spots where I had over-chemicalized my lawn and not a very healthy-looking lawn. I remember in Three Hills when we lived there, having a nice front lawn covered with brown polka dots. What I have learned that if I focused on the health of the grass rather than the elimination of weeds, I was far more successful in creating a nice lawn. In trying to kill the weeds, I now focus on strengthening the grass. Fertilizer, water. If the grass is healthy, the weeds don't come. And I found that much more effective. This year, my failure to fertilize properly in the fall has left the lawn far behind the dark green of certain neighbors, which my wife has helpfully pointed out on more than one occasion during this past week. But this example helps illustrate the parallels between our providing for our children and in how we provide for our Christian faith. I believe we get much better results when we water and fertilize our children's lives with positive things and activities that glorify God, rather than simply focusing on restricting the negative things. Likewise, our Christian walk, we need to focus on positive Christian fellowship, prayer, and study of Scripture, rather than focusing on that ever-growing list of negative things which derail our walk with Christ. To provide is to nurture our walk with Jesus and to grow in our faith by doing good as opposed to trying to avoid the negative of our fallen world around us. That's what it means to nurture and to provide. Question. What change can you initiate this week which can begin to provide and nurture your personal walk with Christ? Just something for you to think about. What change can help you provide both for you and your children to nurture that walk during the coming week? Every mother is filled with hopes and dreams for their children. I think the most mothers would admit to having dreams and visions of great accomplishments as they gaze upon their newborn child. Most, however, do not have the same assurances as Mary did, that her child would be the Savior of the world. The third P word this morning is prosper, the idea of prosper. Prosper is simply another word for success, and we all want our children to be successful in some way. I know when our children were born, my first thought was, please God, just let them be healthy. And that's the first thing we want, just to have a healthy child. After that, we want our children to do well in school, to be successful in sports, have lots of friends, and later maybe to be economically successful. Hopefully, the most importantly, we want our children to be strong spiritually, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This past week, I read an article by Mark Maxwell, the president of Prairie Bible College. I want to read the first couple of paragraphs to you because I think it brings to light a very real concern regarding whether or not we as Christian parents are preparing our children to prosper spiritually. I just want to read a couple paragraphs of that article. Thank you. If you knew that more than half of the young people in your church's youth group would walk away from Christ after entering college, would you do something about it? In the last decade, four groups studied the percentage of Christian students that will potentially abandon their faith over the course of 4 years in a secular college or university. The numbers vary from an astonishing 61 to 88%. Thank God for godly professors in secular universities and Christian young people, including my own daughter, who choose to attend. But a Washington Post article reported that the majority of instructors at non-Christian colleges disdain Christianity, and that in most cases, students will come to reflect the values of the college faculty they encounter. Many university students claim that the first question from a professor was, "Are there any Christians in the class?" Imagine that being asked of Muslims or Hindus. To further the erosion, today's evangelical teens cut and paste their values. Their top goals in life are fun and personal fulfillment. Overwhelmed by media, most have no clue how to examine concepts critically or biblically. They believe truth is relative, not absolute. Two and three say the Holy Spirit and Satan are not real, just symbols of good and evil. 60% view Bible reading as unimportant. As teens move from childhood, core values are examined and prioritized. Ideally, a faith that was imposed becomes a foundational faith that is owned. Although some become salt and light in non-Christian colleges, research shows it to be rare. Most students are simply unprepared for the conflict of worldviews they encounter. A little bit sobering statistics that are provided there in terms of what happens as our children leave home and move on if they do not... if not prepared to prosper in our world. Clearly the point is made for our children to prosper on a spiritual level. We must do more than just protect and provide. Mary's song makes a point of stressing that God's mercy will be extended from generation to generation for those who fear Him. And as mothers and as parents, we have a responsibility to help ensure that the gospel of Christ will extend to the next generation. Time for another question. Do we have the same hopes and dreams for the gospel to prosper as we do for our children? We all want our children to prosper. Do we want the gospel to prosper? The media is a powerful tool, both for good and not for not so good. We are persuaded every day through both obvious and subtle forms of advertising to buy things, to think a certain way, to act a certain way, and to live a certain way. There is a term in advertising called sticky. Something is sticky. It's referring to a phrase or slogan which people easily remember and identify with. And so we all think of different slogans. Can you think of some slogans? If I say it's the real thing, what do you think of? Coke. Okay. I'm loving it. McDonald's. I won't hum. Always fresh, always Tim Hortons. There you go. Okay. Bet you can't eat just one. These potato chips. Here's my personal favorite. It's a new one. Guts and Glory. Ram trucks. Okay. But you can all think of different types of sticky advertising that stick in your mind. Yeah, there's Nike one too. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Okay. That's one sticky phrase that I could find that we've come up as Christians that help us remember to live life in a different way. I think as Christians we often forget about the great product we have. What can be more sticky than hope, forgiveness, unfailing love, and eternal life? In a very confused and superficial world, we have a clear understanding of where we come from and where we're going. As believers, we have the comfort and strength that there is an all-powerful, all-knowing God whom we have a personal relationship with because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is a message which we must continue to prosper. Romans 5, verse 1-5 puts an explanation point of what it means to have that relationship with Christ and how this relationship works to define our character. Romans 5, 1-5. I've already read part of this chapter, but I'm going to read the first part now. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and the character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. What a fantastic message. A very sticky message that I think we need to continue to prosper. Mothers have a unique and powerful relationship with their children. The mothering instinct seeks to protect, to provide, and to prosper their offspring. As Christians, we have a unique relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to protect the fundamental truths of our faith. There is only one way to God, and that is through a personal relationship with Jesus. To provide, to nurture our faith, to focus on the positive, encourage one another rather than focus on the negative all around us. Finally, just as a mother wants to see her children prosper, the Christian message is one we need to ensure is continued from generation to generation. We have a sticky message that, once heard and understood, changes lives forever. The message of Mary's song is a message of redemption for all believers, for all generations, forever. Thank you very much. And happy Mother's Day.